Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Macca and Tass, and just before we get to our next guest, we've got a couple of emails here, Tass. I'll read this one first. This is from 413 in Eaglemont. He says, "Oh, come on, Macca. ScoMo made it ScoMo versus Shorten, and people can't stand his arrogance." Plibersek and Bowen, the same. They've now got their own Abbott. The question will be at the next election, will Shorten knife Albanese? Now, he says, "I voted Libs for the first time as I couldn't stand Bill. Given the polls, Turnbull was probably never behind. Well, I think none of us are ever going to take any notice of polls ever again."
That was Paul from Eaglemont.
Yep. Now, this is from Alex from World Wide Wave. He agrees with my comments about Labor's tendency to throw out the policy baby with the bathwater. And I was talking about Chris Bowen's comments about engaging with people of faith on religious freedom. I think that's code for throwing us to the wolves. Next one, Tass.
Well, we've actually, the 317's just tuned in. Good morning to you, 317.
He says, "I had a long, stiff drink on election night. Who do you think is the best leader for the ALP now?" Well, I don't get a vote. I'm not a member, so... and I don't think any of the members will get a vote. Hawke is probably turning in his grave. Now, this is an interesting one. "I'm amazed that the Labor Party were not aware of what was going on. This is evidenced by Penny Wong's shocked expression about 30 minutes into the telecast." Yeah, I saw that. "What were the problems with the info flow to them?" Again, it comes back to the polls. Arthur Sinodinos, Senator from the Liberal Party, he looked shocked as well. Look, I think, you know, there's a lot of different views out
there. That was Jerry. Thank you, Jerry.
I put my view this morning that I'm actually the discussion amongst Labor since the election. You know, the policies that apparently cost them the election, they're all distancing themselves at 100 miles an hour. They agreed to those policies. They supported them for years, and all of a sudden it's a bucket of poop and they don't want to go anywhere near it.
So, good morning to our guests, Aram, Aram Hosey from Aram, Equal. You're the engagement director for Equal Australia.
That's right, Equality Australia.
Equality Australia, and Dale Park, who's the co-convener of the Rights Lobby here in Victoria. Good morning to you, Dale.
Good morning.
So, look, I'm going to kick this conversation off. I'm very interested to hear from you two what you think this election result means for our communities. Who'd like to start?
I think what it means is that we've got a pretty significant political fight on our hands. I think we know we've got a Prime Minister who has very strong religious beliefs of his own and has made a number of comments in recent years about trans people and about religious freedoms, and it's very clear where he stands. And it's going to be quite a conservative parliament. So the political risks for our community in terms of the risk of increased discrimination coming in under a kind of religious freedom agenda, I think are going to be very high, and we're going to need to fight.
Dale, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I guess very similar thoughts. I guess one of the main things is that we as a community need to band together to understand what this means for us and have conversations with other people who we're close to, our friends, our families, our relatives, who may not be part of the LGBTIQ community, and think about what some of the negative aspects could be. I think we also really need to ensure that we hold the Liberal National Coalition to the commitments that they made before the election that were positive for us, and really think about what we need to do to engage whatever the crossbench looks like in the Senate.
What were those commitments that they made to our community before the election? Because I know there's a few comments, and apparently we're not going to hell, but what were those commitments?
So there was definitely, in the survey that Equality Australia sent out, there were some commitments regarding funding for mental health and HIV, which were really positive. So they were some very good commitments. I think they were some of the most positive commitments around funding that we had. We also had some really positive messaging, I would say, from some of the Liberal Party candidates who were probably more socially progressive. And I think that's an avenue that we really need to connect with so that the socially progressive part of the party really has a voice and ensures that the conservative element or the religious element that maybe doesn't want to protect our rights and freedoms isn't seen as being the majority or isn't seen as representing the views of Australia.
So, interesting, Dale, that's, you've talked about sort of commitments and platitudes, but tell us about some of the specifics other than specific funding for mental health and HIV/AIDS. What else is there?
I think the other thing actually that we need to remember is that Scott Morrison in the last Parliament did make a commitment to protect LGBTQ students in religious schools from discrimination. Yes. He didn't deliver on that promise, but he did make it. And I think we need to remember that he made it. We need to remind him that he made it. And we need to continue the pressure on the government to make sure they actually legislate. We saw a lot of game playing and awful things that happened in the last Parliament, which meant that didn't happen. But that was a promise that the man who was our Prime Minister made. Yes. And if nothing else, holding him to that and insisting that he keep that promise in the government legislation.
So were there any other policies that we can...
I mean, in terms of policies, I think when I think back to what the submission said, there was a lot of amber rather than green in the survey scorecard. But what there was that hopefully we can, you know, if we're looking for the positives, if we're trying to find a way to engage with the coalition, is that there was language that talked about the need to engage with the LGBTI community moving forward in the way that policies are developed. So if that can happen, then hopefully we can have an opportunity to really get across our concerns and the points that are important to us.
I think the one of the things I take out from the election, you know, as a community, we are... and I hate to use this term, but we are in the crosshairs on this discussion about religious freedom, right? And it didn't really get a lot of traction during the election. We have a commitment from the Prime Minister on those issues, which he made to the Parliament. We haven't seen a result from that. The challenge is, yes, we need to hold them to account and we need to remind them of that. But the reality is, I'm not convinced that this issue is going to certainly develop in our favour. We know what the Prime Minister's real, you know, his absolute views are, a number of his cabinet. And the reality is there's not a lot of support in the old cabinet, don't know who the new cabinet is, for these issues. A lot of that support and that advocacy for our community is outside the cabinet.
Yeah.
And they're backbenchers. And, you know, they're not really listened to. So that's my concern. So how do we actually communicate this to the government? How do we make them understand? I mean, obviously, Equality Australia is going to play a really important role and the lobby. But what else can we do apart from supporting those organisations? What else can we do?
Well, that's right. I think a little like with marriage equality, where we knew that more than 70% of the population supported it, but there was this massive divide between where the population was at and where people in cabinet and in the government were at. And it's the same, I think, on religious freedoms. Like, if you look at the actual numbers from the election result, if you look at the total number of votes that went to very kind of conservative, faith-based political parties, it's tiny. It's like less than 6% of the overall vote went there. If you look at the raw numbers in terms of votes across the parties, progressive parties got more votes overall. So the Australian population as a whole isn't signed up to this kind of very regressive, faith-based discourse. It's not been part of the campaign, but it exists within the party.
But the Prime Minister is.
The Prime Minister is, that's right. And so what we did it with marriage equality, right? We went, government actually is way behind where their population is. We are going to mobilise the support that exists in the population and bring that together to send a clear message. And that's what's going to have to happen again. The majority of Australians believe in fairness and equality and inclusion. And the challenge, and this is a challenge for Equality Australia, it's a challenge for, I think, all progressive folks, is how do we engage and mobilise the majority of people who actually do think the same, but they're not out there on the streets or writing letters. So we need to overcome the communication challenge that there's this emerging narrative that says this is all about people of faith and religion, when I think that's actually just rubbish. It's a bit of a spin job about the result. And then we need to work out how to engage mainstream Australia in caring about making sure that people don't end up worse off.
It's going to be a challenge.
Absolutely.
You know, the Prime Minister in his own electorate, 55% voted for marriage equality, right? He campaigned against it. He abstained from the vote. We know what his view is. Despite what his protestations are, we know what his view is. And that's the challenge. The leader of the government, unfortunately, is not a friend of our community.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9.
We are chatting with Aaron Hosey from Equality Australia and Dale Park from the Rights Lobby. So I'm going to ask this question again. Are there any glimmers of hope for our communities?
One thing we do know, actually, is that there's quite a large, relatively large number of out MPs in the government. And I think it's going to be important to build relationships with those folks and say you're in government, you've got a capacity to have a say, voice an opinion. And so I think building relationships with those assorted out MPs in the government is going to be really important, and working with them to make sure that they are talking to their colleagues about the issues that matter. So there's that.
Name them, Aaron. Who are they? Just so that our listeners know.
The risk here is I'm going to miss someone, but we certainly
out
got.
We certainly got
Senator Dean Smith in the Senate. We've got Trent Zimmerman, Tim Wilson. I've got three. Who am I missing? I know I'm missing someone.
Louise Pratt.
Yeah, not in government though.
There's a new woman who was appointed to the House of Reps. I heard Tim Wilson talk about her the other night, and I can't think of her name.
Yeah, she's from Queensland. I can't remember her name either. There's also Andrew Bragg, who will be coming in as a senator for New South Wales. And there is someone from Queensland, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, speaking with those folk is really important, and engaging them and, acknowledging what they've, I'm not going to get into the discussion about did the government deliver marriage equality, right? The Australian people did. But there are people in the government that we need to engage with, and in opposition, and on the crossbench. I don't see it as doom and gloom. I just see that this is actually, the next 3 years is going to be a really important time. There's nothing worse than when you're at the front of the barriers and you look behind you and there's no one there. Our community needs to understand this is a crucial time, not just about religious freedom, but support for our community in a whole range of areas. If we don't speak up, if we don't lobby, if we don't engage, we will lose the battle.
Yeah.
The forces against us, and they're significant, will win.
And so, I think what can happen is sometimes people can take a very empathetic approach to it, because on the surface it may be, well, do you know what? I can go about my day and my life and, everything's kind of cool and things are fine. I can still go and have my smashed avocado on toast with poached eggs. That was a bit of a dig. But the reality is that if we don't think about the broader community, and maybe people who aren't having it as easy, they are the ones who will experience worse inequality, and they are the ones who will be left further and further behind. Last time when I was on, we talked about the mental health funding that the Coalition have said that they'll do. That's great, but let's not kid ourselves. The policies that they will look to implement through this religious discrimination, religious freedom legislation will increase mental health problems. It will ensure that people are constantly questioning and having their identity questioned. And that is something that is really damaging.
And it's important to remember, in that Ruddock review, that review found there was not a need for legislation to protect religious freedoms. So the government's own review by, a former Attorney General and, an elder statesman of the party showed there was not a need for legislation.
Yeah. And I think what's really important, we don't want this to become religion bad, LGBTI good, because it's so basic. And we know that there are many people of faith who support our community, who are part of our community. And there is a very small minority, as Aaron was saying earlier, of very conservative religious people who don't support us and our community.
I'm afraid the war's already begun. One of our listeners, 317, thank you 317, has just informed us that Barnaby Joyce sent out a tweet today offering his support for Israel Folau.
Well, that's really interesting because it's a little bit after the fact.
Of course.
So Barnaby's late to the party, I guess.
The beetroot has never been good on time.
I mean, look, someone trying to politicise something for his own gain, there's a shocking surprise.
Oh, surely not.
Yeah.
He says, I'm reading his quote now, his tweet, they may not be my views, but he shouldn't be sacked because of how he gets to heaven. He wasn't preaching violence.
I just think I think this whole Israel Folau issue, it's essentially an employment contract issue.
Yeah,
like every employer has policies, and we've seen the government and quite conservative folks have no problem with, for example, we know there was that federal public servant who made a tweet from their private account and was ultimately dismissed from their employment.
So what is the difference?
That's right. So we've got to be consistent around this. This is an employment issue. This is not about religion, actually, at all. It's about employment contracts. And if we want to have a conversation about is it appropriate for employers to be stipulating what you can and can't say on social media, then let's talk about that. But this is not about religion.
And please, Barnaby, don't take the moral high ground. You'll fall off it. For you, it's a very, very small dung heap. Like, don't take the moral ground on this, mate. You know.
And I think it's just distracting from actually the real issues at hand. You know, Rugby Australia have gone through a process.
Yep.
There has been absolute ample opportunity for the person concerned to address, you know, his behaviour, his concerns. He actually chose not to take it any further.
He broke a commitment he gave to Rugby Australia last year. Anyway, look, let's not spend time.
So, as two of our leading queer activists in our community, well, that's the truth. do you have the energy to actually take on this so-called battle? Last time we spoke, Dale, in this very studio, along with Anna Brown, you were both talking about how exhausted you were. You were constantly spending your weekends, you know, drafting submissions, consulting the community, you know, sitting, you know, going to deputations, putting forward arguments. Do you have the energy?
Personally, yes. But I also think it is not, and I'm sure Aram and Anna and anyone else who is the voice of an organisation would say, it is not just us. There are hundreds of people who get involved and get behind us. We have, the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby, we've been really noticing a massive increase in the number of people who are coming forward saying they want to volunteer in policy roles with law backgrounds, with communication backgrounds. So people are getting energised by this, and it's really encouraging. And that is what we need. I'm not going to be here forever. I'm not going to be the voice.
Aren't you immortal?
No. But there are so many other people that do so much more work that don't get hurt.
And Aram, I mean, you'd know this. Equality Australia is a new organisation that it's not just, you know, those of you who are, you know, office holders and working for the organisation. It's actually every single one of us that we need to make sure these issues stay front and centre. We're not always going to agree, but we've got to support the organisations, but also do what we can do as individuals. You know, so in the workplace, you know, in social situations, have these discussions and, you know, make your view on it known and discuss it with people.
Absolutely. I mean, I think I spent a little time under my duna after the election. I think it's okay to be sad, to be angry, to be a bit exhausted, and to take the time out that you need to have those feelings. But nothing will change unless we work on it. And so I think there's different roles that different folks can play. So if you are broadly speaking, a progressive kind of person and progressive queer, get involved. So for Equality Australia or the rights lobby, sign up, become a member, participate when we put call outs, ask other people to do that. And also I think show up for other movements. So show up for fights that Aboriginal people are having, that the environmental movement's having, that women are having, that refugees are having, to build allyship across those movements so that then those folks will turn out for us. That's really important. And I think if you're a person who voted for the government, then I think there's also a really important role for you to say, yes, I voted for you. But that was not a vote to say discriminate against me and the people I love. I voted for you, but that's not a vote for discrimination and prejudice. And so there's a role for everyone to play in either saying I'm a supporter of you as a government, but I don't support policy that is discriminatory and going to hurt people. And for folks who didn't support the government, to be really loud and band together and work across movements to keep making these arguments and holding the government to account.
It's everyone's responsibility, and I don't know who this is attributable to, but if it is to be, it is up to me.
Now, we're nearly out of time, but the checklist of issues is long. It's trans rights, there's birth certificates, there's conversion therapy, there's safe schools,
intersex
surgeries, there's human rights charter. What's going to be the hot one or two issues as we lead into the next couple of years?
I think certainly federally it's going to be all things religious freedom, religious exemptions, discrimination, with a particular focus, I think, on schools. So religious schools, teachers and students in
those
schools.
So is this about the right to discriminate against LGBTIQ folk?
Yeah. Correct. That's right. Yep.
Yeah. I think also there's an opportunity for us, if we look a little bit closer to home in Victoria, the Labor government here said that they were waiting on what was going to happen with the federal election around what they were going to do around religious exemptions in employment, in schools and things like that. We have an opportunity to really push hard on that now. From a federal perspective, completely agree. We're going to be taking up a lot of our time looking at this religious discrimination, religious freedoms, whichever way it wants to go.
And, you know, the test is for those members of the Senate on either side, if they really believe that religious freedoms and our community are not inconsistent and can't live together, when the legislation comes up and if it's going to discriminate against us, it's really simple. Don't vote for it.
Freedom should be about a shield, not a sword.
Yeah, don't vote for it. There's the challenge.
Dale Park and Aaron Hosey, thank you for your time this morning. Thank you for your reflections. Keep up the great fight.
Thank you.
We will always back you in this studio, and we'd love to have you back again to just give us further reflections as things begin to unfold.
I'm happy to do that.
Yeah,
excellent. Excellent.
Watch Q&A on Monday night. There's
Tim Wilson's on, apparently.
Tim Wilson will be on.
Yeah, excellent.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.